Have you guys ever wondered if I really believe? Has there ever been a time when you actually thought, I wonder if PC actually even believes? I feel really tall. I'm going to step down. Will you guys forgive me if I take this coat off? Good. How about the tie? Can I do this too? Well, I guess you guys are going to have to forgive me, because forgiveness is by grace and trust is by works. So every once in a while, I contemplate the power of words. And tonight, the message, that's what the message is about. It's about the power of words. And sometimes I think about this, and I think about, I wonder if these guys ever question in their own minds if I actually believe. So somehow I missed you along the way. So come on back and look at me for a minute. If you ever wonder that, let me answer the question for you and watch the power of words. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe he is the Son of God. I believe he died and rose again. I really believe that. And let there be no doubt in your minds. Let you not wonder, does PC actually believe in the stuff he talks about? Because I do. I absolutely believe in what I talk about. The things that I preach, they're not just things to me. This isn't just a bunch of nice sayings or good philosophical advice or a way to improve your life in 10 steps. This is life and breath to me. This is who that I am. And some of you, you've been in my house, you know who I am a little bit more. And you see it. It's not just here. It's not just there. This is it for me. This is the end of all, is Jesus Christ. He's the beginning, the middle, and the end. Let there be no doubt. Let there be no question. I want you guys to grab a Bible, and I totally spaced it. Aaron, will you come with me? And Mike, will you help me too? Did you guys get a chance to say hi to Mike? Mike being a recent graduate. Congratulations, Mike. We're very excited. Back in here, there's Bibles. They're in a box. Lord, help us. You guys can still hear me, right? Yeah, wave to me. Here we go. We're going to have some Bibles. I want you to grab a Bible, and Timo, will you flip to the first slide? I want you to grab a Bible, and what we're going to be talking about is life changes. And last week I said life changes, and we're going to be intentional about changing our life. Over the next coming weeks and maybe even months, we're going to be specific and intentional about changing our life on purpose and doing it the right way for the right reasons and changing the right parts of our lives. And yes, please, I want you to pass those out. If you need a Bible, will you give Mike a look? Yeah. Where'd Aaron go? Here. Pass some Bibles over. So we're going to be intentional about changing our life, and we're going to do it the right way. And one of the things that we're going to be talking about tonight is the words of life. See, we have the words of life. When we speak, we give life, and I'll prove it to you. Watch this. How many of you, you guys are all distracted. There's Bibles going out. Oh, my goodness. Everybody giggle, quick. Anybody else? There you go. Have some Bibles just for you, Michaela Glaikler, just in case there was any doubt. Watch this. You need a Bible? Does anybody have a pair of glasses that Mr. Noah can borrow? Praise the Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. All right, look up here. Are you guys looking for the book of James? What page is it on? In the House Bible. 838 of the New Covenant. New Covenant meaning the covenant that Jesus made with us rather than the covenant God made with Moses. Oh, yeah, it's all good. So, you guys are flipping. 837. While you're flipping, I'll tell you a story. These shoes have insoles, so they're more comfortable than you'd think they would be. I knew that would be fascinating to you, so I shared that. I wanted to share that with you. I wasn't joking. They really have insoles, and they really are old. These shoes are older than any of my children. So here's the thing. I wanted to talk to you about the power of words. Did you guys find it? Lord, help us. 8:38 in the paperback Bible. 8:37 in the paperback Bible. Okay, I need you to look up here. I need you to look up here. I need you to look up here. I need you to stop bumper carring and look up here. Here we go. Words have power. Words have power, and in fact, I'll demonstrate the kind of power that words have. This is a rhetorical question. Rhetorical means don't answer it. How many of you have been hurt by somebody else's words? You guys are good at this. Right, the words have power. Words have power. So we're going to get into this. We're going to get into the Word of God because it's more powerful than any. And all of this chit-chat, and I haven't even turned to James chapter 3. Lord, forgive me. Hebrews, James. Here we go. James chapter 3, starting in verse 1. I'm going to read the Word of God now, and you're going to be quiet. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. That's a little ouch on me, just so you know. Ouch. Because I teach, judge more strictly. Verse 2, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man. Isn't that interesting? Everyone's at fault, but he is perfect if he's able to keep in check what he says. Verse 3. When we put bits into the mouths of horses, we make them obey us, and we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what the great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a word of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, setting the whole course of his life on fire, and it itself is set on fire by hell. Yikes! Verse 7, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouths come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salty spring produce fresh water. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you right now admitting full well that our tongues are a terrible, difficult thing to control and maintain, and yet you have given us the power of the Holy Spirit that will help us and enable us to maintain positive speech and a good tongue. We ask that you help us with this in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, amen. One of the things from Scripture is this passage, and it says, God will not be mocked. We reap what we sow. We reap what we sow. And here's what it means in terms of this. Because we're talking about the words of life, and we're talking about changing our tongue. We're talking about how we can be careful about what we say. And it says, God will not be mocked. You reap what you sow. So what does that mean in terms of the way that our tongue behaves? It means this. If you're around people that use more F words than they use the word the, you're going to have a hard time not using the F word. Because you reap what you sow. And what's being sown into your ears seeps into your mind and comes out through your mouth. If you're listening to music that praises sex and drugs and debauchery, it's going to seep into your mind. And what you reap is what you sow. And it's going to come out of your mouth. And Mike can attest to this. He was in the military, and I'm sure that he heard more than one F word while he was at basic training. More than one per second, probably. And now he probably has a difficult time not using the word, the F word, just as a regular part of a normal sentence. Because it's been sown in there. You reap what you sow. And so what is buried in your mind is what comes out of your mouth. We're going to talk about how to undo that. You see, if you sow in good things, then what comes out are good things. It's a very simple thing. But people come to me all the time. Seriously, I've had people come and sit in my office and they're like, PC, I can't even stop swearing. You don't even know. I can't even stop. I'm F this and this is bad and blah, blah, blah. And sometimes I'm just like sitting there going, dude, you can't stop swearing in my office. So I don't know where to even start with you. But then you talk to them and you realize that they surround themselves with people that use the F word as if it were the word the. And that's what they do. Those are the words that they choose. And then you also talk to them and they're listening to music. And it's got the little black sticker on the music. And it says parental explicit lyrics kind of stuff. And the music that they're listening to reinforces what they're hearing. And so I'm like, well, no wonder you can't stop saying it. It's been going into your ears 24/7, 365 for however long. What goes in will come out. You reap what you sow, my friend. You reap what you sow. So like I said earlier, if you need help with music, come and talk to me. I'd be happy to help you out. There's really good music. There's good rap artists that praise Jesus. And they're not lame. There's good rock bands that praise Jesus. There are good country music bands that praise Jesus. Sometimes those country stars, they get all messed up because they praise Jesus with one song and then they're talking about sex with the next song, but that's a whole different thing. If you need help there's a thing with movies too. Have you ever gone to a movie and like halfway through the movie you go, dear God, help me. What have I gotten into? This movie is what? It's terrifying, or it's all full of garbage, or there's sex in it, or there's decapitation, nonsense, blood, gore, guts, whatever kind of grossness. I'll give you a hint. Ready? Watch this. There are about 100 websites that will help you with your movie choices. One of them is Plugged In Online. I'll just give you that. Plugged In, like you're taking your electrical outlet and you're plugging it into... So Plugged In Online, if you go there and you type pretty much any movie name you can think of, whether it's new or on DVD, and it will tell you all of the stuff that's in the movie. All of the stuff that's in the movie. And then if you're like, oh, I didn't know that was going to be in it, and I didn't know that was going to be, don't go see the movie. Use your brain. God gave you a brain. Use it. Here's the thing. TV's the same way. I'll give you a hint. Watch this now. I'm watching TV in my house, TV show that I like, NCIS. Anybody like NCIS? Right? Okay, a couple people like NCIS. We're watching NCIS, pretty clean show. It's good. It's kind of drama and crime scene and whatever's going on. And then all of a sudden, for no reason, the investigators go into a strip club. And I'm like, you laugh, but I do this. Ask my wife. She will say, honey, hide your eyes. I am not joking. And I'll be like, tell me when it's over. I don't need to see that. It is sin for me to watch that. If it goes in, it's going to come out. So, learn ways to get around. I mean, 100 episodes of NCIS, and there's going to be one that I can't see. So should I jump the whole show? No, just go around it. Be smart. Use your brain. God gave you a brain. Here's the second thing about words. Sticks and stones. Have you guys heard this? I love this thing. Sticks and stones will break your bones. Words will never hurt me. What a load of crap. That is such a lie from the pit of hell. The devil is a liar. Sticks and stones will break my bones. But shut up. Words hurt so much worse. Are you kidding me? If you put a man in the hospital with two broken femurs and he's going to be on his back for 6 months... But he's comfortable and he knows who he is in Christ and his wife stands by his side, he will get through it. But if you put that same man in a situation where his own kids say, Dad, I hate you. I guarantee he'd take the two broken bones any day. Any day. Words have power. Words have power. Sticks and stones, a bunch of nonsense. By the way, this goes for insults too. And boys insult guys insult each other just because it's fun. They call each other like all the bad four-letter names, and then they're both like, "Dude, shut up!" And then the first guy says it back to the second guy, and he's like, "Oh yeah, well," and then they just do this. And they're like, "Dude, that's funny." But then they will say one thing, but they'll change the way they say it. One thing. And they won't even say something horrible. It doesn't even have to be laced with all kind of four letters. It's just one sentence. "You disgust me. I don't even want to be around you." And it hurts. And guys won't admit this because we're macho. But they still feel the knife in their back when one of their friends says stuff like this. And it happens to guys all the time. And they won't admit it because they're like, "Dude, that didn't hurt." Just the same as, you know, when you're a kid and your dad spanked your butt. And you're like, "That didn't hurt." And your dad's like, "Okay, how about this one?" Layton's playing it. He just get the belt out. "I'm sorry." Anyway, that's a whole different thing. But guys, they're like this. You guys, stop it. Stop hurting each other on purpose. I don't even want to talk about girls. Oh, my heavens. Girls don't even have to be in the same continent, and they can destroy one another. I don't even start on that. Dear heavens, get me started on that. So that's why we watch videos like this, because they're educational. So we're going to watch this quick video because it's very educational. Watch this now.
Very good, Daddy.
Sound good?
Yes, Mama.
What did your father tell you this morning?
If you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all.
I'm just saying. I love that the guys are like, "Ooh, it's cute." I'm like, that's so cool. So it's a little Thumper theology. Back in the day, once upon a time, it was so clear. Now, keep in mind that this movie was made in, I don't know, the 50s or the 60s, and guess what? It hasn't changed. And it didn't change before that, and it didn't change before that, and it didn't change before that, and it didn't change before that. Another day. Yeah, we'll just push the other movie off, and we'll just watch Bambi. I don't really like Bambi. It makes me cry, so shut up. I'm macho, though. Okay, so... it's sad, but we do this. So learn a lesson from Thumper. Listen to your Heavenly Father who says, if you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all. Okay? You got it. Okay. Next thing, playing with fire. Playing with fire. Here's one of the things that we do. We play with fire with our words, and here's how we play with fire. One time I had a student, and he was a student in my class, and he was a student in my ministry back in Washington. We'll call him Xander. And Xander was a popular kid. He was a PK. Do you guys know what a PK is? Pastor's kid. He was a PK, and he was popular. He was a popular PK. He had it all together. He was on the worship team. Kids liked him. Everybody wanted to hang out with him. When they hang out with him, they start sharing stuff. And the next thing you know, Xander's off telling somebody else that kid's secrets. Well, you can guess how long Xander's friends lasted. And Xander was literally, he is a boy. I mean, I'm not making this up. But we give girls the bad rap on this gossip thing. But oh no, there are plenty of boys who get their jollies with gossip. Like, "Did you hear about so-and-so? I can't even believe it. And then they go off and tell this whole long story, and they're like, "What did you tell me that for?" "Because I want you to like me, and so I'm going to tell you stuff about other people." And that's where it comes from, boys and girls, children of all ages. Gossip is trying to be popular based on somebody else's stuff. And it's evil, and it's wrong, and it's from the pit of hell. It's from the pit of hell. And you don't have to go very far to find somebody who's been wounded from gossip. You guys could probably all tell me stories. You could probably all get up here. I could give you the mic, and I could tell you, yeah, I have a story. Somebody said some bunch of nonsense about me, and it really hurt. And then I had to go and try to fix it, and I had to try to convince my own friends that I didn't do the thing that they said I did, or that I didn't go there, or that I wasn't a part of that, or whatever it was, or that's not how the conversation went down, and all this stuff, and it's just wrong. Stop it. But PC, there's a good kind of gossip. It's called the prayer chain. Patrick, I got to tell you about, did you hear about Jenny? Because Jenny, she's pregnant, and we need to pray for her. No, shut up. I didn't need to know that. I can pray perfectly well for Jenny without knowing exactly what's going on in her life, okay? And I chose Jenny because I don't think any girls in here are named Jenny. You know, God straight me. You're Jenny? Okay. Jenny, forgive me. But you get the idea. Well, you have to tell somebody because it's important because they're in a life crisis and you have to tell the people who are praying for them, shut up. God knows what's going on. You don't have to go tell somebody else their dirty stuff, their secrets and all that's going on in their lives just so you can pray for them. Hey, you know what? Jenny's really going through a hard time. Will you pray with me and ask God to comfort and secure and give wisdom? Don't give me excuses. Stop gossiping. Stop it. Stop it. Just stop it. Here's one of my favorite ones. Okay, PC, I'm really good at this. The only time I have a hard time is when I'm really angry. And then all bets are off because I am so mad. You don't even know. When I get mad, I don't control my temper. I don't do nothing because I get so angry. I just go off and I go yelling at people and I say whatever I want to say. I can't control it anyway. No, you're full of crap. You're so full of it. People tell me this all the time. When somebody comes, I get in a fight with my friend and I can't control it. And I'm like, really? So if your girlfriend walked into the room, you'd be talking like that? No. Apparently you can control it. If I was in the room, would you be talking like that? No. Well, apparently you can control it. Apparently you do have control over your anger. The Bible says this, don't sin in your anger. It doesn't say don't get angry. No man could be able to do that. You're going to get angry. Jesus got angry. And he was sinless. And yet he got angry. I get angry. But this is what the Bible says. Don't sin in your anger. And the truth is, when I get angry, the opposite kind of thing usually happens for me. Instead of going off on a holy tirade and using all kind of nasty language and cutting people down and telling them I don't like you or I don't like this thing or whatever's going on and just being a jerk, usually I just go, and I'm quiet. I need to process. I need to think about this. What am I going to say? How am I going to handle this thing? Because I'm really mad, so don't just give me a minute. And I told this story in Sunday school one time, and kids remembered it, so I'm going to keep telling it, because anything that kids remember, I'm good with that. There's a story about a cartoon panda bear. You guys remember this? Yeah. There's a story about a cartoon panda bear. And the story about the cartoon panda bear is this cartoon panda bear loses his temper all the time. And panda bears are white and black. But when he got angry, all of his white fur turned pink. So he'd get really mad, and then he'd be pink and black. And so he went and, you know, he was mean to his family, and so they sent him to, like, a shrink psychologist or something. And the shrink said, okay, all you need to do, little Mr. Panda Bear, all you need to do is count down backwards from 10. If you count down backwards from 10, by the time you get to 1, you'll have enough time to process. You'll feel a little better. You can breathe. You can talk to people in a normal tone rather than freaking out and screaming and yelling at them because nobody likes that. So the Panda Bear is all good with that, and so You know, his son throws a baseball through the window of his house, and he just gets so mad. And then he remembers, oh, yeah, the counting down. So 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, Billy, I'm mad at you, but this is how we're going to handle this. And so he handles it like a rational adult, figure out how he's going to take care of the. One time, Panda Bear's driving along in his car. And the Panda Bear, I don't even remember what happened. I think a deer jumps out on the road. Panda Bear and his family in the car, they're driving along. Deer jumps out on the road. The Panda Bear swerves, crashes off into the lake. He's underwater. Of course, it's a cartoon, so it's okay. He's underwater, and the Panda Bear's, oh, just so angry. So he starts counting down backwards, 10, 9, 7, 3, 1. And his fur is half pink and half white. I don't know why that's funny, but it sticks in people's heads. I looked for it on YouTube. Don't sin in your anger. Don't sin in your anger. Don't sin in your anger. Being angry is no excuse to sin. Don't sin in your anger. Here's the bottom line with it all, okay? Because there's a bunch of ways that you can hurt people with your words. And we can talk about all the ways that you can hurt people with your words. We can have people come up and tell how I've been hurt with other people's words. And we could do that all night and have this big, long sob story, and I'm not interested. Okay? I don't want to hear it. Here's what I want to hear. This is the thing that Jesus did. He took the thing that was negative, and he turned it upside down. And he did this all of his life. He turned the rules upside down. He turned the things that were into the things that weren't. And he turned the things that weren't into the things that were. He turned the sick into the well. He turned the broken into the healed. He turned the upside down things into the right side up things. This is what Jesus did. And here we have this passage that talks about how our words can be a fire, and we can set people's lives on fire by the things we say. And Jesus said, no, let's turn this thing upside down. Let's show them the scripture. Here's what it says in Ephesians chapter 4. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Okay, so there's the upside down thing, the negative thing. Don't do what's wrong. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that they may benefit from those who listen. That they may benefit from. So he turned it upside down. Instead of saying, don't do all the bad stuff, now Jesus is putting it on top of us, and he's saying, and you need to do the good stuff. You need to use your words positively to encourage each other, to build one another up, to say words like, I forgive you. I love you. You're important to me. I value you. I want to know what's going on with you. Of course, then there's the listening part that has to go along with that. But Jesus did this all along. And here's the other thing, just so you know. One of the things that's different about Christianity from every other religion is the upside downness. And let me show you what I mean. Do you guys remember the golden rule? You guys know the golden rule? The golden rule says, do to others as you would have them do to you. And the truth is that every major religion in the whole world has something like it. But every other religion has it upside down. Every other religion says, don't do to people what you don't want them to do to you. Don't be mean because you don't want people to be mean to you. Don't be a jerk. You don't want people to be a jerk to you. Don't gossip because you don't want people to gossip about you. And Jesus said, no. Let's flip this thing upside down. I'm not saying don't be bad. I'm saying do good. Jesus is all about turning things upside down. Do good. Do to others what you would have them do to you. If you want to be listened to, then you listen to others. If you want to be important, then you let other people know they're important to you. If you want to feel good about yourself because somebody speaks kindly of you, speak kindly of others. I've been in places where I've done activities with groups of people. And one of the activities that I like to do in retreat-type settings is we do what's called an affirmation circle, where we sit in a circle, inner circle, and an outer circle. And on the outer circle, you speak kindly to the person you're in front of. All you can say is kind things. I appreciate this. I noticed this. I found this to be valuable. And then you rotate around and you say something kind to to every person on the inside of the circle. And I've had people, literally Christians, I've had people come up to me after this exercise and say, "Pastor Chris, I've never had anybody say nice things to me before." Oh, church, let that not be true. But say what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. It's a beautiful thing when we can do that. When we can follow the golden rule and do what's good. I promise you, as a ministry, if we adopt this policy to not gossip, but instead speak kindly of one another, to encourage one another, to notice the good things about each other. I'll give you an example. Sam came through the door. Will you wave? Just a little wave, Sam. I don't want to embarrass you. Okay, but yeah, that's right. She won. She's a winner. That's right. Praise Jesus. She's a winner. And she came in through the door, and she said, "I made some cookies. Would you like one?" I don't mind telling you, I had a cookie. It was a good cookie. Sam made a cookie, and I appreciated the cookie. Sam, let me say publicly, thank you for the cookie. I appreciate the cookie. I mean, you guys are all silly, right? And this is silly, but watch what happens. You start doing that to the people in your life. You start speaking positively on purpose, and your world will change. Your world will change. Don't let it be just another lesson. Let it be something that you actually take, grasp onto, and apply to your life. It's not just another lesson. It's not just another refuge. It's not just another ranting of Pastor Chris where he yelled into the mic and we all laughed at different times. Well, some of us did. Let it take hold of you. Let Jesus fill your heart. Keep in mind that two things have to happen in order for this to happen. The things that go in are the things that will come out. So we have to be careful of what goes in, because what goes in comes out. It's just like the rule of gravity. What goes up must come down. Same exact principle. What goes in through your eyes, through your ears, through your senses is also what comes out. It can even be your other senses. Like, watch, if it goes out, if you go outside and it's raining, somebody will say, "It's wet." They do, because what goes in through your senses is what comes out through your mouth. So be careful. Be careful about what's going in. Remember, sticks and stones is a bunch of nonsense. Keep that in mind. Sticks and stones is nonsense. Words have power. Remember that gossip is like a fire. A small spark can set thousands of acres on fire. And gossip is the same way. You don't even know who you're affecting when you start talking. Keep it in mind. And also, guys, don't let your anger rule you. You're in charge of your emotions. Emotions bow to the owner of the emotions. Be in control of them and don't sin in your anger. Do good. Be righteous. Let's pray and we'll dismiss. Father God, we thank you for your Spirit. You said it was your deposit until you came back. You deposited your Spirit on earth so that you, Holy Spirit, could dwell in us until Jesus returns. And we are so grateful for that promise. And that promise means more than just we have some kind of mystical understanding of a Holy Spirit who lives in us. It's beyond that. It's an enabler. You enable us. You enable us, Lord, to be righteous and holy. You enable us to stop being foolish with our words, to stop cutting people down, to quit looking for ways to get position by gossiping or insulting one another. You've given us also the power and authority to speak in the spiritual realm. You've given us the opportunity to speak kindness to our friends and our loved ones. We have the opportunity to bless and not curse. Let us take it, Lord. I pray that you sink this into our hearts so that we might be protected by you, Holy Spirit, that you might guide us and guard us. I thank you for these young people and for their commitment to you. I ask that you would bless us all as I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to hang out and we'll talk about music a little bit if you want to talk about music, or if you want prayer, ask for prayer. You are dismissed. If you guys could help me put the Bibles in the box, though, that would be super cool. Thank you. I love you. Good night.